Good morning. This morning's Old Testament lesson is Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning's New Testament lesson is from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Benjamin Franklin, the great statesman of an earlier era in our country, in 1772 was in England. He was attending a great ball, an outdoor ball, throughout the course of the day and evening with hundreds of people. It was a fancy and very special event. At one point, outdoors on this lovely spring evening, Benjamin Franklin, who, by the way, was quite an entertainer in his own right, called a bunch of people over to the stream running through the property. It was quite wide and it was very turbulent. And he said with some pride, "Watch, I can calm that water." Well, he walked about 100 yards up the stream, carrying a special cane. Then, in magic wet method, he tapped the water 3 times. He didn't say abracadabra, but he might have, and then walked back to where the people were. And to their astonishment, the turbulent water calmed down and became glassy and completely calm. Later, Franklin would explain to folks what he knew and many in those days did not, and that is that oil placed on top of water will calm it down, something mariners have known for a long, long time. Wouldn't it be great to have a magic wand to be able to calm the troubled waters of our lives? Wouldn't it be great to have some magic whereby the storms that come upon us can suddenly and instantly be calmed? We're going to think about that today, along with this theme that we're considering in our sermon series about gaining strength. Because isn't that what you want, to gain strength in your faith? And today we're going to think about it with a look at a powerful story in the New Testament. Mark gives us this story, and he was there when it happened. For you see, one day Jesus was teaching along the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. He was weary, and so the disciples said, "Let's go across the lake and rest." It was not uncommon for them to do that. And so, as evening broke, they went on the Sea of Galilee, and here you see it. The Sea of Galilee is tucked in around mountains, almost like a bowl. And so, it would not be uncommon for sudden storms to come on this lake. Well, the disciples get in the boat, a boat holding about 15 people. It had sails, and it was not uncommon for the disciples to go back and forth across the lake, which was about 6 or 7 miles wide, and in this area, at the northern part, about 4 miles. Mark tells us that they are in the boat, and the weather's fine, but all of a sudden, a squall comes up. Now, you see in this picture, the mountains on the other side, the western side of the Sea of Galilee, act almost like a funnel, so that when winds blow, they accelerate and then suddenly come down upon the face of the water, and there's a great squall suddenly come up. It's not uncommon. The disciples knew that. And so, Mark tells us that as they were partway across, this squall comes up, a terrible storm. It must have been quite bad. And when it comes, they get very frightened. Now, these are strong men. They're used to storms on the lake, but this must have been really bad. They were terrified. Where's Jesus? Jesus is resting, lying down in the stern of the boat, where in such boats there is a place for someone to lay down on a cushion. Jesus, they call out. What are you sleeping for? Wake up. Don't you care? We're about to die. He gets up, looks at the storm, and then by the power of God, displayed for the purpose of showing the disciples that he truly was the Son of God, he extends his hand. He says, "Quiet, be still." And the storm is calmed. And so, we look at this scripture lesson in order to learn. Friends, remember, we call these scripture lessons. The Bible helps us to learn about God, about Christ, and how to live a godly, Christ-like life. And so the lessons are within this story today, and they're based around the three questions that are asked in this account on the lake. The first question is at the beginning of the storm. It's getting pretty bad. They're worried about their life. The water is probably coming over the edge of the boat. These were fishing boats, so the sides were low, so the men could get their nets out and back easily. So water's coming in. They're wondering if they're going down. Probably some of these disciples knew men who had drowned in such storms. And so they ask a question to the sleeping Jesus. Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? We have to give the disciples a little grace here. You see, they have only been following Jesus, scholars suggest, for maybe a year. They have 3 years ultimately with him, but we might say they're still rookies in this discipleship business. And so they did not fully understand who Jesus was, although that was coming. So we give them grace for saying to Jesus, "Don't you care?" Jesus knew he could calm the waters, but they did not. And so in the midst of the storm, all they could wonder is, "Jesus, you say you're the Messiah. You say you're God's son. But don't you care? We're about to die." I remember many years ago, during college and seminary, when I spent a lot of summers as a lifeguard, one summer on the far tip of Long Island, Shelter Island, I was responsible for the waterfront. That meant taking care of property and various boats, as well as the swimmers who would come. We got word a hurricane was on its way. And so, hurriedly, we tied down everything we could. Hurriedly, we tried to make everything safe. And then it started. The hurricane came. I well remember the sound, as many of you perhaps have heard, of the strong winds, the beating rain, the terror of what a hurricane could do to trees, to property. And for 18 hours, I did nothing but watch that storm, wondering what it was doing, wondering about the damage. I could think of little else except the storm. Maybe that's how it's been for you at times. You see, when storms come, physical, relational, most emotional, spiritual, when the storms of life come, sometimes, folks, we cannot concentrate on anything else except the storm, the pain, the terror. Maybe you know that journey. On 9/11, now 19 years ago, my goodness, on 9/11, many people took to social media to comment about what had happened in that terrible day. I remember looking at a feed of some people making their comments. One struck me and has always stayed with me. One person said, "That's it. If God can allow this terrible event to happen, then I'm done with him. No more. He's off my list. How could he let this happen?" What that person was saying is, didn't God care? Didn't God care? Maybe you at times have wondered that. And I have as well, in one of my worst storms. Every once in a while, I'll sit with a person who's going through a really hard time. Their storm is very significant in their life, and I always respect and listen and try to care. But every once in a while, I have a conversation, and then I listen, and it seems to me as if this person is saying, "Why in the world would I ever have something like this happen to me?" They seem to say to me, "I'm special. I should be exempt. I shouldn't go through any tough times." They almost seem indignant that God has allowed something bad to happen to them. Folks, you know that storms do come. That is life. And you also know that God does care in the midst of the storm. God does care in the midst of the storm. We go to the second question of the story. The question now from Jesus, who says, after he calms the water, he says to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Don't you have any faith? Why are you afraid? Don't you have any faith?" You see, Jesus first calms the water and then turns his attention to calming their souls. Because that is what matters most. Their fear was greater than their faith. And Jesus knew that it was the fear that they needed to overcome. And faith overcomes fear. Jesus knew that there was danger on the outside of the boat. But wisely, he knew, and I hope you do, that the real danger is not from the things on the outside of us, friends. It's from the inside. Because lack of faith, lack of love, lack of hope on the inside is far worse than any external storm that may come. That's the priority of Jesus. You perhaps remember the name Victor Hugo. He wrote the great play and book, Les Miserables. He wrote another book called 93. In Hugo's book, 93, it's the story of a ship on a great ocean. It was a long time ago in the 1800s, and this ship had cannons on it. Well, the storm began to blow. The ship bounced all over, and the crew was quite worried. But then the captain and some of the crew heard something down below deck, a great rumbling. The captain looked at his first mate with great fear and said, "That has to be dealt with." What was it? One of the cannons had come loose, and with each toss and turn of the wave, the cannon was going left and right, back and forth below deck, with the threat of breaking through the side of the ship and sinking it. At their own risk, two men went down below deck and tied the cannon and helped save the ship. The point? It's what is inside us, my friends, that needs to be calmed, not just what is on the outside. Always, what happens in us is far more important than what happens to us. Hear that again. What happens in us is far more important than what happens to us. Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Don't you have any faith?" And he pushes the disciples to trust in his power, not just to calm the storm outside, but to calm the storm of their souls on the inside. Then, the final question of this story finds the disciples saying, "Who is this? Who is this that has power over even the wind and the waves?" You see, they are growing in their understanding of who Jesus is. "Who is this?" they ask. Well, again, we give them grace. They were learning. But friends, you and I, we have the benefit of 2,000 years of church history. 2,000 years of people learning, teaching, experiencing the power of God. You have the experience of your own years of understanding through experience the power of God. Who is this? This is God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the one who not only can calm the wind and the wave, but the one who can calm the storms of your soul. Stuart Hamlin was a great singer in a strange era of music. In the 1940s, when radio was still a very primary means of entertainment, Stuart Hamlin was one of the earliest singing cowboys. That's right, he was from the West, had a good voice, played the guitar, and he would go on the radio around the country, different stations, and sing his songs for entertainment. Stuart Hamlin, however, was living a pretty poor life. Alcohol was his nemesis, and he was drunk a lot. Often he was in fights. Often he would be thrown into jail. And simply put, he just wasn't a very nice guy. One day, while he was on a radio show playing, a young preacher came on to promote an event. Young preacher's name was Bill. They called him Billy. Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was promoting one of his early Christian crusades that transformed thousands and millions of lives around the world. Stuart Hamlin met Billy Graham that day, later asked to meet with him and talk personally. And it was in that conversation that Stuart Hamlin accepted Christ, turned his life around, understood the power of Christ to expel from his life all that was evil and make him a man of God and good. Then God gave him a song which became well known throughout that era and for many years after. Stuart Hamlin would play and sing, "It is no secret what God can do." What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Friends, who is this? The disciples asked. Who is this, you might ask today? This is Almighty God. This is the Jesus who calms the wind and the wave and who can calm your soul. That's who it is. Jack knew this Jesus. Jack was an atheist and then became a Christian, a brilliant man. He began writing books about Jesus, significant books that people much appreciated. Jack spent much of his life from about age 35 to 58 writing. He was single, he was a professor, and he was happy. Then, at age 58, Jack met Joy, a woman 17 years his junior. They had much in common, and they developed a relationship. And at the age of 58, Jack and Joy married. And Jack experienced a happiness that he had never known, a happiness of love, a happiness of companionship. And he and Joy shared wonderful times together. But the storm came. Just 4 years after their wedding, Joy got cancer and died. And Jack, the Christian author, professor, apologist for the Christian faith, who had influenced so many, went into a deep storm of depression. Listen to what he wrote. Where is God? Go to him when your need is desperate. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face. And then, silence. What a storm. But Jesus calms storms of the soul. And so in time, as grief worked its way, Jack returned to his faith. By the way, most people didn't call him Jack. Most people knew him as C.S. Lewis, the great author whose famous work, Mere Christianity, has changed thousands and thousands of souls and brought them to Christ, whose work, The Chronicles of Narnia, have influenced generations. Yes, even he would know the storm of depression and distance from God. But the power of God to calm the soul brought Jack C.S. Lewis back, and in the rest of his life, he continued to write and influence people in Jesus' name. Friends, I have been a pastor for 40 or more years. And over those years, it has been my privilege to walk with people through every imaginable storm. The storms have taken place in private homes and in nursing homes, in hospitals and in mental hospitals, in psychiatric units. Those storms have taken place in prisons and in jails and on street corners. And over the course of those years and those storms, I have walked with, tried to help, and often cried with people who have experienced every conceivable storm in life. I can barely imagine a storm that I have not seen with people in these years. Storms of evil, of cancer, of ALS, storms of suicide, murder, drug addiction, storms of betrayal and sudden death, storms of injustice and childhood death. and on it goes. And from those experiences with people in their storms, this I know to be true, that Jesus does not promise to keep you from storms. And sometimes there will be storms without reason or understanding that now we know about. But Jesus does promise to calm your soul in the midst of every storm. That Jesus does promise to calm your soul in the midst of every storm if you will put your full faith in Him. Let's pray. Holy and merciful God, the way you have made us is that we are indeed to experience storms of difficulty in life. Lord, sometimes we just don't understand them. Sometimes they seem unfair or unjust. But what you have promised, Lord, is that you will be with us in the midst of the storm to calm our souls as we face them. So strengthen our faith, renew our hope, rebuild our trust, so that indeed we can walk through the storm with you and be calm. We pray this because of Jesus the Christ. Amen.